Welcome back to another episode of The Political Life. Today, we are going to sit down and speak to Meredith Beeson. Meredith works at the Global Business Alliance, and she is the Senior Director of State Government Affairs. I met Meredith and saw Meredith at the event at the Willard, which was a great event. I think I've gotten two or three podcasts out of that event. And if I remember correctly, Meredith, didn't you stand up and ask a question?
I did, Jim.
What was the question? I can't quite remember.
Yeah, the question was about some of the emerging ESG trends, the environmental social governance trends that are sort of taking off in certain states.
Yes. And I like that question so much that in my last podcast, I asked that question as if I had done my own research and had figured it out all on my own. And I said, geez, you know, I think different states are taking different approaches to ESG. And the guest said, yes, Jim, you're right. And I didn't give you any credit at all, Meredith. I made it look like I did all the research on my own.
Well, the credit's given now, Jim.
What's that?
The credit's given now.
The credit is given now. Meredith, it was a very good question. And you're correct, Meredith. Basically, what you were asking is you have states like California, which are, are kind of all in on ESG. And now we have states on Florida, which are on the other side, basically saying any companies that are, or money managers enforcing ESG, you know, they may get divested from. And so states are taking a very different approach. Good question.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's putting corporations in between a rock and a hard place with such dueling perspectives on how to address some of those corporate governance structures and decisions.
Yeah. I mean, really a difficult spot. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But that is not why we're here today. Meredith, it is great to sit down and talk to you. Why don't you tell our listeners, which they'll be, I think, fascinated to hear, tell our listeners what the Global Business Alliance is.
Yeah. So the Global Business Alliance is an association, multiple trades, but we represent 200 American businesses with a global heritage. So think international companies that have a strong footprint here in the United States. Most of our members are manufacturers, but we have everyone from retailers to financial firms to every industry under the sun, just commonality being foreign parent ownership. And we also like to say that our member companies are headquartered in allied countries of the United States. So we have companies that are headquartered in 23 different countries.
Yeah, just so interesting. I mean, so just as you just said, companies that have foreign, or, you know, headquarters in foreign countries, but friendly foreign countries, and over 200, and some of the 200 largest companies in the world. And then what is it like for you overseeing state government relations on behalf of your members?
Yeah, so GBA really does try to prioritize what disproportionately impacts international companies. So we don't do every big business issue. We really try to take a strategic look at issues that are going to impact international companies that have already invested here in the United States as compared to some of their corporate domestic partners or counterparts. So a lot of my work at GBA is focused on tax issues as well as procurement issues, right? And again, using that framework of looking at what might be disproportionately impacting international companies who do business here in the United States. So it's a lot of fun. I get to cover all 50 states, really eager and excited to work at my fourth year here at GBA. And it is a ton of fun when you have 50 states. It seems like there's never a dull moment. But one of the things I also really enjoy is getting to work with such different industries, but sort of commonality around these issues of international parentage, which is really exciting.
What are some of the tax issues that impact your members?
Yeah, so when you take a look at a lot of treaties with other countries and sort of agreements with how tax is treated between the United States and various tax treaty countries, sometimes states or subnational systems don't necessarily understand how those treaties operate, or they might look to sort of infringe upon those agreements. So at GBA, we always like to say we educate folks about tax treaties, the importance of them at a federal level, and just how some of their tax policies might impact, you know, those global trade agreements and key allies with the United States.
And so, Meredith, let's go back to the beginning. Where did you grow up?
Grew up in St. Paul, Minnesota. So proud Midwesterner, now based in D.C. But anyone who knows me knows that the love runs deep for Minnesota.
And where did you go to college?
Went to the University of Minnesota, Twin Cities campus, go Gophers.
And then take us through your career path after that.
Yeah, so actually my political life started in high school, and I did a mayoral campaign for the city of St. Paul mayor at the time, who was running for office, I should say, and really got energized by that campaign, thought it was so cool and really interesting. That candidate eventually went on to win. So I worked in high school in the marketing and promotions department for the city of St. Paul, continued my educational journey at the University of Minnesota. And I think like most poli-sci undergrads, thought I was going to work for a member. So I took an internship in Washington, D.C., like many a poli-sci folk, and ended up interning with the U.S. Senator from Minnesota. Absolutely fabulous experience. I went to American University, took a summer, moved out to D.C., loved the city, but felt a little bit removed from Minnesota. And I really wanted to be a little bit closer and kind of have direct ties to lawmaking and legislating.
Can we pause there for a moment? That's so you must have been the youngest member on the mayor's staff.
I was very young.
Maybe the youngest, ever.
But I don't know exactly if I count as the youngest, but I did have to manage a Capital City Clean team, which is a group of, you know, two shifts of people that ended up picking up trash and keeping the city clean. And it was part of the beautification effort under that mayor. And so it was definitely a learning opportunity as someone so young in high school, having to manage a couple of shifts of people. Walking around picking up trash and planting flowers. So great experience, though, at a young age.
And who, which mayor was it?
Mayor Randy Kelly.
Okay. And what is Mayor Kelly doing these days?
So Mayor Kelly, I'm not sure what he's up to, but he ended up, you know, having a two terms as the city of St. Paul mayor, ended up, I think, getting appointed under the Bush administration and moved out and did some work with the EPA. So I haven't checked in on him lately, but I'm sure he's still around.
And were you working for the mayor while you were still in high school, or was this just after high school?
This was a summer job.
Okay.
So I took a summer job, and while most people might be scooping ice cream or doing other types of jobs, I really threw myself head first into the marketing and promotions department. We publicized all the city events, you know, around certain holidays. Did a lot of various projects that the mayor wanted to do.
Yeah. And then how did you find your work on Capitol Hill? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah. So actually the chief of staff from Mayor Randy Kelly's marketing and promotions department ended up going out to DC. And so when I was looking around at the various internship opportunities, I had an in there and knew that it would be great to work for somebody representing Minnesota, good experience in the Senate, which I know is sort of a different body than its House counterpart.
Yeah, relationships. It's really, that saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know. I don't really like that saying, but when they're looking for people, you know, it's relationships like that that can just lead to your next job. That's great. And so you were saying, okay, you left the Hill, went to American U, wanted to get back to Minnesota. Minnesota was pulling you back.
It was, even with their brutal winters.
Boy, I'll say. And were you thinking about running for office, or what'd you want to do in Minnesota?
No, I think I just wanted to get a little experience at the state level. I really thought working in St. Paul, where I'm from, was a nice way to round out my city and federal experiences. And so finished up at the University of Minnesota and got a session only job as a, sort of hearing note taker for a large law firm based in Minneapolis. And so I did one session and that turned into four legislative sessions. So it was part-time work to start, but I absolutely loved it and fell in love with the idea of lobbying, right? So there's this realization for me at a young age that I really like the issues-based work, talking with people who are serving or working directly with elected officials. You know, their bosses are up every 2 to 4 years. And I think, again, as a young poli sci grad, I thought I wanted to go to law school. So it was a great experience to join a large firm, see what contract lobbying was all about. I did decide that going to law school probably wasn't for me, but it was an absolute game changer in terms of exposure to issues. We had about 70 clients at any given time. Varying level of service that we provided, from folks who just wanted us to track bills to engaging heavily on making amendments and introducing bills and getting them passed, as well as folks who just wanted to host a day at the Capitol, right? There's just all those varying levels of types of engagement. And so I just fell in love with the work. And even as a session only, I decided to come back for a few years because at a young age, I liked having my summers off so I could explore and do some other things, travel. But obviously that contract work can't last forever.
So you enjoyed working with different clients on different issues, learning their issues, and then strategizing about what to do, implementing that strategy, juggling, you know, two or three or four clients or issues at the same time. You love that kind of stress and being under the gun and all of that. You thrived in that environment.
I did. And I really enjoyed the issues-based work. And what I mean by that is, you know, to have in Minnesota, there's party changes all the time. And so you really have to maintain your issue and educate policymakers, regardless if they're Republicans or Democrats. And to me, I liked that messaging and issues-based work because it didn't matter who was in power. You have to, you know, educate folks and communicate with them about why it's important to your company or the association or the, you know, entity that you're representing. So definitely got the bug.
That's great. And you did that for four sessions and 70 clients. Boy, that's a big firm.
It was. It was one of the top three in the, you know, vacillated between the top three in the state. But great opportunity.
That's wonderful. So you did that, you said, for four sessions?
Four legislative sessions, which I think, you know, in dog years is, you know, probably closer to 8 years.
Yeah, it's a lot. And then what did you do?
Well, one of the clients actually approached me that we had worked closely with. So after the fourth legislative session, Target Corporate was very impressed with my work and ended up calling me. I initially did a contract with Target for my first year covering somebody's maternity leave. And I ended up staying at Target for 6 years on their state and local government affairs team. So at first I was a bit of a pinch hitter, sort of bouncing around to different positions, ended up landing on the issues management side. So covered issues for Target like transportation, taxes, all sales tax, income tax, and property tax issues at the state level, did product take back, energy composting. So quite the spread of issues. And, you know, the same thing there where you really have so many different types of issues, but for one company. And I was very naive, I think, when I started at Target with a simplistic view of retail, right? They buy and sell things. Well, retailers also manufacture, and they also have sophisticated global supply chains and stores in every state and many municipalities and localities. So it was interesting to move from that multi-client work to a single client, but a lot of issues. And to me, obviously, I stayed there for 6 years, which was fabulous, great experience, loved my time there, got so much exposure to 50-state lobbying practice, prioritization across issues, a lot of corporate reputation focus too. Target prides themselves on, you know, being focused on what the guests and shareholders and team members all think. So it was a phenomenal experience.
Yeah, it's interesting the way you said that, because you're right. I mean, the issues that they touch on, labor, tax, environmental, supply chain, energy, all these same issues or a lot of the same issues you might have been dealing with as a contract lobbyist, but yet all under one roof. So probably not under the gun and the stress and the time constraints that you were when you were juggling many clients. So a lot of the same work, but maybe a much different pace.
Definitely. And I think even the same amount of prioritization, right? So many issues. And of course, you can plan on proactive, but then there's so much reactive, as you know, in state government affairs. But I was very happy to be part of a large team, right? Of state and local government affairs was a larger team at Target. And so really valued the collaborative spirit. Also getting to work internally with various business units. That to me was so eye-opening, getting to work with the tax teams, getting to work with the product teams, getting to work with the store operations teams. That was to me kind of how I viewed the clients in my previous role at the contract lobbying side.
Yeah, and great training for your current role. I mean, to understand what big corporations, you know, all the issues that they have to deal with, and working on them from the inside is really provides you with a great insight into the kind of the challenges that your current members might face.
Definitely, especially when it comes to decision making about taking policies. I know how long it can take to get a single position and feedback on something that's moving through a legislative process. And I even got some exposure to that when we were in the contract lobbying world. But you definitely have a deeper empathy for those decisions, what goes into it, how many people need to, you know, review a letter, take a look at a policy. And again, that was a really great experience in being collaborative and bringing people along and being proactive, not just waiting for something to pass or not pass and asking questions. So very good training ground, definitely.
Yeah. All right. And then you left Target. And what happened after that?
Yeah. So unfortunately, I was part of a large restructure. There had been, some challenges with Target, and I was part of a layoff. And so it was a very, humanizing experience. Again, I have no ill will and really enjoyed my time at Target. And actually, I used the time to take a little bit of a breather. And it was initially a little uncomfortable because many people immediately sort of offered to send me job postings and make connections. And I just had to pump the brakes for a little bit and say thank you, but I just want to take some time off. And I ended up doing some what I like to call my exploratory year, where I ended up starting my own radio show. It was called It's Your Thing on a low-powered community radio station in South Minneapolis. As part of that, I did two delegations down to Honduras through a program called Witness for Peace, where we were talking about the role of radio and democracy and sharing stories across borders. So very interesting to participate in human rights work when I had been very focused as a state and local yokel in politics in the United States. But I knew that there was part of me that was drawn to kind of these international affairs and really challenging myself in some ways where I was interested in the stuff, but never knew how I could sort of entryway into international or global issues. So I did two delegations of this human rights trip down to Honduras, an incredible life-changing experience, getting some exposure, met some amazing people doing incredible work on free press issues, as well as, you know, democracy in general down there. Ended up moving to my cabin, living in rural Minnesota for a few months. So, and as well as taking a contract with a community mental health organization, which was a tiny one-person staff shop. So again, just sort of put myself through a random range of types of jobs. And it was just a really interesting exploratory year. And looking back, I think I was probably should have been a little bit more scared, especially about, you know, re-entering into government affairs and the workforce. But to me, it was such a nourishing time to spend that period exploring things that maybe I was interested in, but just never had the time or space.
Well, I got to say, you remind me of Katie Kincaid, who's been a guest on this podcast, and she did a similar type of sabbatical, and I think it began right before COVID hit, and she found herself, I think she was in Thailand when COVID got in full swing, if I remember correctly, and she decided to stick it out and did a sabbatical also. And I remember her saying the same thing that you just said in the beginning. She had to kind of, you know, she was doing it. It was intentional. And she had to tell people who were trying to help and trying to be helpful about new jobs that, no, I think I'm good. I just think that takes incredible courage, because we all need the security of our job and our identity. And, you know, to walk away from that for a year. And to do that is really, I just think is, quite brave. And, just says a lot about you as a person and being secure who you are, and is very, very impressive. And so when you went down to Honduras, was the radio and talking and showing about radio part of those, what you were doing there?
Yeah, the whole trip and delegation down to Honduras was focused on the important role that radio plays in a country like Honduras. Literacy rates are not very high, so folks aren't reading newspapers as often. And so radio is really an important way to share information. And low-powered community radio, which, you know, may only be a couple of miles in terms of its range, played an incredibly important role just of information sharing, also alternatives to the sort of national media that had been, is very much so controlled by the president. So it was just such an eye-opening experience and really reminded me of how lucky in some ways we are here in the United States for, you know, the freedom of press and other things, when you're really sitting down with people who are risking their lives to set up a radio station and share stories and share some of the injustices that they're experiencing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And so a year and a half, you're on your self-imposed sabbatical, and you were doing this work for this one small nonprofit. And then as you jump back in, what do you do?
Yeah. So, you know, 2020 or 2019 approached, actually, and was a time that I just started to touch base with people, reach back out, especially to the folks who had offered to help me, the prior year. And I just wanted to do informational interviews, coffees, learn more about, really, really kind of look around and see what might be an interesting and unique job. And one thing that I've learned about myself is that I love learning new things. And so when I saw this job posting for my organization, was previously called the Organization for International Investment, OFI, now GBA, Global Business Alliance. But this multi-trade association working with all different kinds of businesses, but the commonality being foreign parent ownership, it seemed to be bringing together a lot of interesting areas for me, right? With some of these global companies and their perspectives on the United States, and even further, doing state work for these global companies. So to me, there was really interesting opportunity to learn about different industries, as well as just learn about different countries and how they view the United States, especially the subnational system, which, as you know, compared to a lot of other systems, is extremely unique. And I'll get to it in a little bit, but I do think COVID also raised awareness by a lot of global companies about the role of states. And we can talk a little bit about that dynamic. I loved as soon as I saw the job posting, I talked with a few folks. You know, it was based in Washington, D.C., which, as a state government affairs person, I'm always a little bit skeptical, right, of, you know, moving to a non-state to do a state government affairs job. But I have absolutely loved my time here. I absolutely love our members, and it's been so wonderful.
Yeah. And by subnational, you mean states.
Correct. And that's just the term that many other countries use because they have provinces or different types of jurisdictions. But it has been really interesting to, you know, have some of those issues elevate, right? During the pandemic, states were closing down economies. They were requiring vaccines. They were deeming who was essential. And that's in part because the federal government was not sort of taking that approach and having a sort of unified voice. And that gave a lot of opportunities to states to, you know, go through all those different types of activities and reactions to how the pandemic should be handled. And so I think a lot of our companies, if they didn't have state government affairs dedicated folks internally, viewed that as, wow, states are really, you know, hard at work and doing a lot of different things that could impact our bottom line and how we operate.
And so we better figure it out quickly.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I'm sure at the beginning, they were probably scratching their heads, like, what is going on? I mean, one state is not mandating vaccines. The next state is. One state's having lockdowns. Another state is not, which is where you and your team come in.
Yeah, I think, and you know, you do state government affairs as well. I think everyone, even if you were working in states, didn't know what was going on for the first few months. You know, are they going to be meeting? Are they going to be doing it virtual? It was just a, you know, upon reflection, such a unpredictable time. And I think the questions of, you know, how we're going to do business moving forward was not an inbound specific thing. It was an interesting kind of state level response, which I think generated a lot of interest, whether they were domestic or foreign corporations, about how things might be handled.
Right. Now, you also serve on a few boards, I think WASHRAG and SGAC, maybe? Is that right?
Just SGAC, but I'm very active in WASHRAG, and that's where we ended up meeting at the Inside the Dome event. But yeah, SGAC, okay. The State Government Affairs Council, is a great organization. They represent, it's kind of a professional development organization for state government affairs folks. So I've been on the board for 2 years, a great organization. So if anyone ever wants to talk about SGAC and the important role it plays in professional and personal development, I do want to make a plug. This is the first year that we actually did a benchmarking survey, one of the first of its kind when it comes to state government affairs, compensation, pay, benefits. So in addition to some of the professional development opportunities, we are also doing some great work. So kudos to the whole team at SGAC. And that's just been a really great opportunity to demonstrate leadership. You know, I really strongly believe in board engagement. I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, but to me, it's one of the key ways that I view giving back and doing work that not only benefits me, but supports an organization. You know, oftentimes a lot of people I think might view board work as being maybe mundane or not interesting. But early on when I was doing my first board in Minnesota, I realized I was getting the opportunity to do strategic planning. I was getting the opportunity to manage a budget or oversee a budget, overseeing programmatic you know, initiatives. And so to me, it was just the strategic level, great way to engage when you might not get that in your day job, right? Especially as an individual contributor early in your career, you're sort of go, 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 doing that work on the daily, but taking it up a level and really getting some of those, you know, board level conversations and experience, I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Well, I think it's great that people, like you, Meredith, have the time and the commitment to do it. You know, Beth Loudy at SGAC does a great job. She, you know, she came on the podcast once. She would prefer that board members like you come on and not her. So shout out to Beth. Beth, I think it's time to have you back on. Or maybe we'll have other board members from SGAC on. SGAC is a great organization and a great network of people. Very tight-knit group, and, you know, they help each other. What's going on in the States? What are you hearing? And it's really a great professional organization.
Yeah, I do want to make a plug to one of the key programs that SGAC does is a Leaders Policy Conference every year. So I talked about their professional and personal development opportunities, the recent survey they did with members on wage and compensation. But the Leaders Policy Conference actually invites key legislators to participate in an event. There's great speakers. There's various breakout panels and different sessions. And this just happened a few days before Thanksgiving. But it is really a great way to meet elected officials from all over the country. I know for me, who covers 50 states, going to events like that is really helpful because I can't make it to every state capital. So if I get a chance to meet a speaker or a minority leader or a Senate president somewhere, that's also invaluable.
Yeah, no, it is. And those conferences, you know, there's not a lot of them. I mean, you know, in the summer, there's a few conferences and then SGAC and maybe a couple others. But yeah, SGAC does a great job and it's such a great group of people. Well, Meredith, it has been so wonderful to have you on. It was nice to meet you at the Wash Rag event at the Willard. Meredith is going to be hopping on a plane tonight and doing some traveling vacation. So Meredith, we wish you the best and have a great trip. And for our listeners out there, remember you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. You can also sign up for our email at thepoliticallife.net. If you want to reach out to the show, you can do that on Twitter. And the Twitter, all the information is in the show notes. And so, Meredith, have a great trip. And to our listeners out there, we will see you next week.